Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Riding with the Queen. I am your host, Rami Mays. And today, on today's show, I'm paying tribute to a woman who has left us with an epic catalog of classic hits and monumental musical moments. I heard she was ill last week, actually, and thought it would be a great idea to do my show on her. But then the deal was sealed when I just found out at the beginning of the weekend that at the age of 76, she passed away. So please sit back and relax for an hour with me and enjoy the story and songs of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Born in Memphis in 1942 to a minister and a musician, Aretha was only 2 years old when the family upped and moved to Buffalo, New York, and then 5 years old when they settled in Detroit. There had been many stories along the way of Aretha's mother, Barbara, abandoning her family, but in fact, that was not the case at all. She visited regularly, and even before her passing in 1952, just before Aretha's 10th birthday. It was around this time that Aretha started leaning to music to help herself along, and she learned to play the piano by ear. And I think that's actually pretty amazing. I've met some people who can play piano by ear, and you just know they're aliens. They're just, when you can learn to play the piano as well as someone like Aretha did by ear, you have it in your soul for sure from the beginning. Due to her father's status as a well-known respected pastor, many famous people would visit the Franklin home through her childhood, including the likes of Sam Cooke, Martin Luther King Jr., and then commonly a love interest of her father's, Clara Ward. Clara was important in Aretha's life because she was a talented gospel musician and she had an influence on Aretha at that time. And Aretha's talents became evident as early as age 12. Her father, Clarence, began managing her, bringing her along on these kind of like gospel caravan tours where she would be a feature singer and often debuted with gospel hymns like Jesus Be a Friend, Be a Fence Around Me, and a bunch of other classic gospel songs. So by 1956, with the help of her father, she signed her first record deal with JVB Records with an album called Songs of Faith. At the time, she would often even travel with Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. And as a young gospel singer, Franklin spent summers on the circuit in Chicago and actually stayed with Mavis Staples' family. So that's very influential for her as well. After turning 18, Franklin confided in her father that she aspired to follow Sam Cooke in the recording sort of pop music, and so she moved to New York. But he stuck with her. He agreed to the move, and he helped her along. And serving as her manager, he produced a two-song demo that would soon be brought to the attention of Columbia Records, who agreed to sign her in 1960. So this is where it all starts to sort of happen for her. Franklin's first Columbia single, Today I Sing the Blues, was issued in September 1960 and later reached the top 10 of the Hot Rhythm and Blues Sellers charts. So let's start from the start as we do on this show. And so I can blow my nose in between when I'm not on air. Let's settle into the show with a nice set of music highlighting her early years. So here is a young Aretha at 17. And she's going to be singing a song for us here called While the Blood Runs Warm from that first album of hers. And then we'll also spin a track from a very young Sam Cooke when he was with the Soul Stirrers as well. And then following that, we'll hear a classic Staple Sisters track since she lived with Mavis for some time. And here we are on UMFM.
While the blood running warm in your veins. While the blood is running so warm in your veins.
the ship that's tossed and driven.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today we are tributing the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who passed away this past weekend at the age of 76. We are just starting to delve into the early years of her life when her destiny as a soul singer was starting to pretty much come to fruition here. Coming into her own on the cusp of her 20s, Aretha recorded her first secular album, mostly produced by Clyde Otis. Her style transferred into jazz and rhythm and blues, and she had her first Billboard 100 hit called Won't Be Long. Along with a couple other top 40 release hits, by the end of 1961, she was on the radar and was being recognized as this new star vocalist, as she well deserved to be. The following year, she released two more albums, which also hit the Billboard charts. By the mid-1960s, Franklin was netting $100,000 from countless performances in nightclubs and theaters. And do recall that in the 1960s, $100,000 is not the same as $100,000 now, and that's a lot for a woman who was, very young, so she was doing pretty well. Also, during that period, she appeared on rock and roll shows such as Hollywood A-Go-Go and Shindig. She did, though, however, struggle with her success at Columbia, because as they encouraged her to go more pop, she felt that they weren't, acknowledging and recognizing and nurturing her gospel background. So let's get right back into the music to spotlight her time with Columbia Records. And here are two tracks from the early 60s, one that's called Won't Be Long and one called Exactly Like You, here on Riding with the Queen.
And know why I've been blue, yeah. waiting here for somebody, baby. Ah, yeah, exactly like you. Uh-huh. Why should we spend all of our money on a show or two when nobody makes those love scenes, honey? Ah, exactly like you. Now you make me feel so great. I wanna give this world to you, and you make me understand these foolish little dreams I'm dreaming and schemed I'm scheming. Yeah, I know why my daddy taught me to be true. Yeah, 'cause he was keeping me here for somebody, somebody, somebody exactly like you. Now you make me feel so great. I wanna hand this great big wide world to you, and you make me understand that these foolish little dreams I'm dreaming, oh, scheming, I'm scheming, yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the mid to late 60s, Franklin decided not to renew her contract with Columbia, and she went over to Atlantic Records. She went to Muscle Shoals and recorded the first big hit of her career, backed by the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, called I Never Loved a Man the Way That I Love You. And the sessions ended, actually, though, after only one song, due to some altercation in the studio between, I think it was her husband or manager, the studio owner, and apparently, like, some horn player. I don't know how he got involved, but some kind of hoo-ha went down, and the sessions were just sort of came to a halt. The single was released anyway, and it hit number one on the R&B charts. And then Dan Penn, who I love, his song Do Right Woman, Do Right Man was its B-side. It was in 1966, Aretha recorded Otis Redding's song Respect, and to this day, as we all know, it is considered her signature song. In 1967, she had more hits with the release of Baby, I Love You and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Her producer-artist relationship with renowned Jerry Wexler was thriving, and so they continued to release top-selling albums like Lady Soul. If you have not heard the album Lady Soul, get your hands on it. And Aretha Now, which contains the hits Chain of Fools, Ain't Away, and I Say a Little Prayer. Both of those are epic albums. There are just so many great songs to play, but I'd rather play them than talk about them. So let's get back into the music right away here and feature some of those songs. Instead of Aretha's version of Do Right Woman, Do Right Man, and her version of Respect, which we've all heard many times over the years, I'm going to kick off this set with Otis Redding himself doing his song, Respect, and then Dan Penn along with Spooner Oldham doing Do Right Woman. And it's interesting to hear it from the perspective of a man that wrote it. I'm also a massive Dan Penn fan, so I'll likely feature him in a later show. He's written a lot of great songs that you probably didn't know he wrote. He's sort of an unspoken hero. So following that, those two songs, we'll hear Nikki Hokey and her classic hit Chain of Fools from her album Lady Soul here on Riding with the Queen.
When I come home, hey, hey, hey. too hard. She'll always love you. And nobody can make her do wrong. Take her for granted, leaving love unshown. Makes willpower weak, temptation strong.
change, change, change.
After garnering a couple of Grammys from the success of the albums that she did at Atlantic, she also began touring overseas to actually like really welcoming audiences. And it was, I don't know if you guys remember seeing this ever, but she was featured as a like kind of like a painting on the cover of Time magazine in 1968. The cover of Time magazine. How cool is that? And there was like this banner across the top of the page and it read The Sound of Soul. And more success came for Franklin through the 70s with top 10 singles like Spanish Harlem and Rocksteady. She also released acclaimed albums like Spirit in the Dark, Gifted in Black, and her gospel album Amazing Grace. She was the first R&B singer to headline Fillmore West, and they released it. It was called Aretha Live at Fillmore West shortly after. But then, as things do, things kind of took a bit of a turn. In 1973, some things began to change when some of her albums were starting to decline in sales and popularity. She had this album called Hey Now Hey, and it was produced by Quincy Jones, and it was sort of the first string of, decent string. It's not like, you know, two albums that bombed. She had a bunch of albums that bombed, actually. Just didn't work out, and they weren't very successful. She'd have a few successes, though, with singles like Angel and Until You Come Back to Me. But it was clear by 1975 that her albums were not top sellers anymore. The last top 40 hit of the decade for her was the Curtis Mayfield-produced song Sparkle for the film with the same name. And I checked it out, and I didn't hear it before, and it's awful. So I'm not going to play it for you guys. It's just, you know, when someone asks you to do a movie soundtrack and you have to sing something you don't want to do, that I would believe is the one. After a few more albums that didn't do well, it was around 1979, Aretha left Atlantic. So before we head into the 80s, let's hear a very cool track, though, that Aretha put out in the 70s on Live at the Fillmore West. When she was recording when Ray Charles actually joins Aretha on stage for Spirit in the Dark. So that's a pretty cool track. Let's listen to that right now on Ride It with the Queen.
I discovered Ray Charles.
Spirit. When you hear Aretha sing, y'all. God. Can you feel the spirit? When my woman wake me up in the morning, she give me the spirit. Oh, when I'm on my last go round, I need a little spirit. It's good for my soul. Oh, yes it is. I get a little spirit. Oh, Aretha. Can you feel the spirit?
Is that Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin just killing it live at Fillmore West? The 80s saw a bit of a comeback rise to Aretha's releases as she began developing more of a contemporary approach with a desire to sort of have a younger sound in her music. The highlights of her career in the 80s included playing for the Queen at Royal Albert Hall. She also had a role in the classic Blues Brothers movie. You might remember that. She was a waitress in that movie. She killed it. In 1982, she had a gold record called Jump to It. Franklin also had a platinum release with Who, Zoom, and Who, which I actually... when it was one of my first vinyl records that I had of my own. With the hit, it had Freeway of Love on it. You might remember that song. Her album Aretha was just about as successful with the hit Jumpin' Jack Flash on it. Also, Aretha had an international number one duet with George Michael. She sang on TV theme songs. She actually was the voice of A Different World. Do you guys remember the TV show A Different World? It was a really bad spinoff of The Cosby Show with Lisa Bonet. But yeah, so she sang that song. And but let's spin the track of Aretha covering the Stones tune Jumpin' Jack Flash from her gold album of the 80s, which, for the record, Keith Richards and Rod Wood both play guitar on it. And it's a really cool version, actually. So here, let's listen to that on 101.5 UMFM. Stanley track. I imagine that at one point Keith Richards and Ron would probably look to each other and they're just like, Mick doesn't sing like that. So just before the turn of the century, Aretha Franklin was almost 60 years old and she was still maintaining the respect of her contemporaries and new younger fans and musicians. She hit the top 40 again, actually, with a song that she had recorded with Lauryn Hill of the Fugees called A Rose Is Still a Rose. And she filled in last minute at the Grammys. This was a big one for Luciano Pavarotti, who fell ill. And it was this unforgettable rendition of Nessun Dorma. I really suggest Googling that one up. I checked it out and I got chills. It's very long and my show is time limited, or else I would definitely have played it on the show. It's really epic. It's, you know, the room is silent and just overwhelmed, and then they stand, give her the standing ovation at the end, and it's, you know, she just ends up filling in for Pavarotti. It's not like anyone could just do that. So yeah, check that out if you can. And further to her list of past awards, Franklin received a Grammy for her song Wonderful, which was on her last Arista album called So Damn Happy, which likely made her so damn happy. And that was in 2003. Before she left Arista, though, she had to complete her obligations with them. So she did release an album of duets in 2004 with artists like The Arrhythmics, Frank Sinatra, John Legend, Whitney Houston, Bonnie Raitt, and Luther Vandross. We're coming to close to the end of this hour here, but there's so much more information I would have loved to share with you. She had such a broad career full of so many songs and so many opportunities and so many recordings. It was really hard to sort of push this into 1 hour. She did things like she sang at Obama's inauguration, and she also released an album called Aretha Franklin Sings the Great Diva Classics. That was a pretty cool thing to do near the end of her career. Upon its release, it made Aretha the first woman to have 100 songs on Billboard's Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart. So that's pretty cool. And till her recent illness, she was still awarded full standing ovations at every performance for every song her voice touched. She released one more album in 2017, and that had the Royal Philharmonic behind her. I mean, what didn't she do? That is definitely one to check out as well, guys. You got to check that out. So I think today, I have to end the show sometime, and I think a good way to do it would be to kind of go to present day here, which is the cover of her. She did on that album Diva Classic, she covered Adele's Rolling in the Deep, and obviously a humongous song. But then to juxtapose completely, I want to sign off the show with a version of her as a young woman singing Amazing Grace in church. And I think this will help show how timeless her talent was and her voice adapted with genre in each generation. So thank you, Aretha Franklin. Much respect. And until next week, you've been riding with the Queen.
A fire burning in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out of the dark. Finally, I can see it crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how I will leave with every part of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. In my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out of the dark. The scars I'm gonna remind me of us. It keeps me thinking we almost had it all. The scars of your love keeps me breathless. I can't. To the
for